I would like to introduce now Antonella Valmorbida, is the director of the Association of the Local Democracy Agency, engaged in local governance and the citizen participation in Europe and neighboring countries. She has a senior experience in promoting of local democracy, empowerment of civil society and good governance in Eastern Europe and Europe. She has an extensive knowledge and practice in European policies and institutions promoting citizen participation in local governance. She chaired of the Committee on Democracy and Civil Society of the Conference of IONG of the Council of Europe and elected co-chair of the Steering Committee on Civil Society Forum for Eastern Partnership. Is professor of decentralized cooperation, international cooperation, in the degree course of administration and governance studies of the Faculty of Political Science of the University of Padua. Professor Antonella Valmorbida will present a paper on local democracy and citizen participation practices in comparative perspective. Please.
Good morning. I'm very honored to be here this morning with you, students and professors and distinguished members of the panels. I planned to be the fifth speaker of a very long morning, so I thought to have, first of all, a short presentation and trying to focus on my personal experience and share with you some of my thoughts and visions about this issue of local democracy, local governance, and citizens' participation. This issue is actually my daily business. I'm on the road every day, all over Europe. I work with civil society organizations and local governments. My platform is Europe. Therefore, it's a slightly or essentially different platform that was presented by Manuel, for instance, which is the UN. Europe has its own identity as far as this issue is concerned. It's a very dynamic context nowadays. And the issue of local governance and development of citizens' participation is a key issue for the European development and institutional development and development of its own identity. By mentioning the fact that I'm working in Europe, it means that I'm working also in the neighboring countries of Europe. Europe is the European Union is implementing a quite organic relationship with the neighbors. It is called the NP, the European Neighboring Policy Instrument. And they try to establish and promote both institutional and political relationship, in particular with the Med area and with Eastern Europe. So my experience is very much on those countries too. As I mentioned at the beginning of my presentation, the focus of my work is based on two pillars, local authorities and civil society, and the interaction between these two institutions, or these two actors. Well, what I can tell you from my experience of never-ending traveling around Europe, and meetings and discussions, is that certainly nowadays, and this is a strong assumption, dialogue between citizens and authorities, in my case local authorities, but in general terms authorities, represents an evolved and modern form of democracy in a modern and complex world. So the complexity of decision making today, political and economic decision making and social decision making, request modern forms of integration of actors. And the interaction, not ad hoc, but systemic relationship between citizens and the civil society, organized citizens, is certainly not a choice, but it becomes a need to respond to the complex decision-making process which is required today. On the other hand, as a second assumption, I state that there is no possibility towards progress, development, sustainable development, equal chances in development. There is no possibility to implement that without decentralization and deconcentration of powers. And what happened in the Med area and this citizens' uprise which happened in these last months, I would like to say, we told you that. It's going to happen. Because when you have the possibility to share information and expand information, that happens. There is no case of sustainable development, equal chances, without the concentration of power and decentralization towards local authorities or local communities or local entities. There is development, sure. Azerbaijan is a rich country. Certainly, the Emirates are a very rich country, but this is not sustainable. And not all the citizens of these countries benefit from the wealth of the country. Therefore, if you want every single citizen to benefit from wealth and opportunities and equal chances, you need decentralization. Therefore, what I suggest by that is strengthening civil society and local authorities. What we say as an organization is that in that sense, Europe must be different, and Europe must have a say to promote these kind of values. And if Europe is an example, because to a certain extent we may be happy or not, but all the countries in Europe adopt decentralized systems, more or less, to a certain extent. But if we want to adopt this system as a system for wealth and for equality and development, we also be an element for peace, stability, and growth with the same models around the world. Europe is not such a relevant actor in some countries and areas of the world. Like others, we were talking about the US, but as a key actor in many places of the world where we work. But EU must have a clear political message in that sense. What do we say as well is that participative democracy, citizens' consultation and citizens' participation, and participative democracy is another synonym of this concept, is not only a nice word. We say it is worth doing that because it brings better solution. So it's not just by theory that we want to impose participative democracy because it's nice and it responds to some UN declarations. It's because in this present situation, it produces better results for the community. And the results are equality of chances, wealth, education, security. This is what we have in mind. We say, I'm quoting probably in an incorrect way the sentence of Winston Churchill. He said something like, democracy is the less worse system that we have found so far, so we must cope with it. And maybe today we can say that there is something else which is better, and this is participative democracy. So I have the feeling that we must accompany a watershed, a political change here, that the classic sense of democracy, which is the representative democracy, are elections, and majority, can be changed now with a very strong assumption that democracy as such is not enough. We must have participative democracy. And this is the message which was conveyed by the Council of Europe in one of the important and interesting meetings that they organize on an annual basis, which is the Forum for the Future of Democracy. It was organized last year after a five-year event in Yerevan, in Armenia. And while they were evaluating the process, what is the future of democracy, at the end of the process, going through electoral system, going through e-democracy, and so on, different aspects of modern democracy, there was a strong declaration at the end that the future of democracy is participative democracy. So what does that mean, participative democracy? We intend it as a multi-stakeholder participation. So it's not that while you are voting once every 4 years, you give un chèque en blanc, we will say in French. So you sign that anything that this politician will decide in the next 4 years is fine with you because you trust him or her. So it's not what we want in the future. So there is a multi-stakeholder participation rather than elected political parties as the only stakeholders. We suggest a constant interaction on a daily basis with the partners versus the elections-based participation. So we are talking about consultation processes, articulated consultation processes, committees, organization of civil society, communication and information and shared agenda with civil society. And of course, it will imply a shared responsibility between the different stakeholders. What is this map? This is actually the core of a document which is called the Code of Good Practices of Citizens and Civil Society Participation. The code, called code in brief, is not a legally binding document, so it's not a convention. But it is an instrument promoted by the Conference of the Non-Governmental Organization of the Council of Europe, and the document and the process of establishing and developing this document was endorsed by the different bodies of the Council of Europe. So it has a political value because it was endorsed by the Committee of Ministers and all the ambassadors, excluding the regular ones. and endorsed by the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe. And this is an elaborated form of interaction about how a civil society can interact with the decision-making process. And we use this document influencing the agenda setting, influencing the drafting of the policies, influencing the decisions, influencing the implementation, the monitoring and the reformulation of the policies, and how civil society can be engaged through information, consultation, dialogue, and partnership. That's the different level of possibility of interaction. We use it very much as a potential instrument to train and to strengthen not only civil society as such, but to make them aware about how consultation could go. We are very much using in my organization the concept of active citizenship, and I'm mentioning here only an instrument. There are several others, but I mention here an instrument which is called Europe for Citizens. Europe for Citizens is a program promoted by the European Union and funded by the European Commission, which is stimulating and promoting the development of European identity. It has several measures. You know that the European programs work through measures. It engages local authorities and it includes in its policies and programs and measures the twinning between local authorities. It fosters civil society exchanges and engagement in European matters. And it has also, we were talking about memories, it has also one measure which deals with the past and memories of Europe. So it tackles the memories of the Holocaust and the tragedy of Nazism and Stalinism. So through this measure, in particular, if you want to quote the memories, we want to build, the program Europe for Citizens wants to build also the European identity from memories of the past. This question of, should we talk about memories? Should we talk about the past? It's very much debated in Europe about building identity. Should we talk about the conflict? And what divided us? And how bad it was. Should we forget about that? And of course, because I work very much in the Balkans as well and in other places of the world where other tragedies took place, you do not forget. Nobody can impose you to forget. And nobody can impose you to forgive. And usually nobody forgives. So what you have to do is to elaborate the past and know about that. So memories of the history start from the Holocaust. This program, Europe for Citizens, is a very ambitious program, unfortunately not very well funded or as good funded as we would like. And in this last period of time, it had also some difficulties in the different rediscussions and reorganization of the European Commission, because it was under the umbrella of the DG, Director General Education and Culture, and it fitted very well in education and culture. With the new commission, it was shifted to DGCOM, to DG Communication, which is a very sad shift, because it's less appropriate to elaborate European identity under the umbrella of the DG Comm, of course. So you can see here a list of activities that my organization, together with other many partners, is implementing. We are promoting citizens' panel, engagement of citizens. For instance, this question of the citizens' panels was the main slogan of the presidential campaign of Ségolène Royal in France, which wanted to approach citizens. So it was also adopted by some national politicians in Europe. Mobilization of volunteering. You know that today, this year, 2011, is dedicated, the annual priority of the Union is volunteering. And we work very much in the democratic concept of volunteering. Volunteering is very much understood in Europe from the social perspective, helping the others, handicapped people, elderly people, children, and so on. We see it from the democratic perspective of how to engage in society. And many other programs, youth, and so on. Talking about experience in cooperation countries, cooperation countries, those are countries we mentioned not in Europe. So those are the countries in neighboring areas. We develop, as ALDA, the local democracy agencies, and they are a multi-stakeholder, multilateral, decentralized cooperation focusing on citizens' participation and local governance. We have 12 agencies in Europe, in the Balkans and Southern Caucasus. On the other hand, we work on some specific programs in the MED areas and in some Eastern European countries, in particular in difficult countries like Belarus at the moment. What we do is that projects are often not enough. So we are working on lobbying strategies. And we promote the concept of local governance and citizens' participation because we know and we have the experience and we see every day that this is the thing that you should do to get stability and peace and development. We do lobbying at the Council of Europe. We are, with our members, observer at the Congress of Local and Regional Authorities and a particular project of the Council of Europe on that. We participate to several structural dialogue with the European Commission and other EU institutions, working with the Committee of the Region and with the Eastern Partnership Civil Society Forum for Eastern Partnership, which I co-chair. These are some examples. We promoted an activity, for instance, in Brindisi. Brindisi, following our technical assistance, they developed a program on active citizenship together with their communities and local authorities. They went through problem solving together. And they try to now incorporate citizens' participation in the institutions. Therefore, the next step is the institutionalization of the procedure. This is a youth activity we promote in Bosnia-Herzegovina, where we do a lot on youth issues and youth empowerment. But that's a description of my organization, which I already mentioned. Two last slides. As for Europe, is participation a success story for the future? And there is a question mark there. So certainly, there is a political support to citizens' participation, participative democracy in the European policies at the moment. The Lisbon Treaty in particular is mentioning clearly the dialogue with civil society. And there is a clear need to engage civil society in the policies. As you know, the citizens' initiative, or the so-called 1 million signatures initiative, is also bringing an innovative way of participation of citizens into the EU policies. It doesn't solve all the problem. I think that the value of this citizens' initiative has been overestimated. It won't probably solve, certainly not solve the problem of citizens' participation in the EU policies. More effective than this, I would mention the structural dialogues that are today built at the European Union level on different issues. There are strategic partnerships established in the EU policies and in different levels and topics where civil society can participate. It's more interesting than the citizen initiative itself. I just give you an example. The issue of development today and external affairs in the EU is followed by the external service, which merged different aspects and different bodies of the European Union, the European Commission. And there is a structural dialogue regarding development and engagement of civil society and different actors in the policies for development, which will shape the next programming period. So the next programming period is 2012-2020. And we need a civil society to be engaged in this platform of negotiation and to shape the future policy. Last slide. Despite the fact that we all love participative democracy, this is not the end of the story. And there are a lot of reluctance to follow this process and to engage in this process. Because nobody is naive. There is a challenge to the regular, let's call them like this, regular political decision making. We are challenging the regular parties. And at the end of the day, they will tell you, okay, let's consult, but we will make the final decision. So it is true that we need to take into consideration this reluctance of the established decision-making process, mainly based on the political parties. And we need to establish a balance with them. On the other hand, if you want to intervene and to have a word to say in the decision-making process, you have to have a strong, well-structured and functioning civil society. If you say you are representing civil society, who do you really represent? How are you structured? Are you yourself democratic in your institutions? So it is not given for granted that NGOs and associations are angelic and non-subject to manoeuvres and influences. So we need capable, motivated, and trustable civil society. We have to deal with the communication and information. I mean, today, we are all constantly living in a double standard and double level life. We are here today, physically in this room, and we are constantly on the internet, working in another dimension with other people that we feel they are closer to us than the people in this room, sitting next to us. So this is something that the actual today decision-making process is not taking into consideration enough. So we have to address this challenge. The last word is that we need, with participative democracy, also address the concept of the long-term perspective and strategic planning. Is the participative democracy able to do so, to see a little bit ahead than the next election? Then, if this is the case, there is a hope. Thank you very much.